Very pleased to be joined by the best in the business, Bill Hillgrove, as the Steelers get ready for the Browns tonight. First of all, Bill, Happy New Year to you and that great family of yours.
Well, thank you, and likewise to all the Joneses.
I appreciate that. There are plenty of them, as you know. All right, so here we are. We get to this point. You know, there's a lot of speculation about, you know, where Ben is and all of that. Does that play into the emotion of tonight, other than the fact that it is the Browns and the Steelers need to win it and everything like that?
Yeah, I think, but, you know, I think he showed signs when they played up in Cleveland. He scored that touchdown on a quarterback sneak and asked for the ball. And then last week, I believe his family was all at the Kansas City game. And so those signs point to the fact that he's probably going to call this his last home game.
And so, look, you've been around him the entire time. You've called every game of Ben Roethlisberger's career. What has made him special when you look back at what he's done?
He is the ultimate competitor. And I believe that in the truest sense of the word. He refuses to lose. And I think the way he went out last year, I think he was thinking about it, but I think he told Marquise Pouncey, if you want to retire, go ahead, but I have unfinished business here. And, you know, the door is still open. There's not much room between the jam and the edge of the door, but the door is still open for some postseason, so let's hope things break the right way.
All right, so I got to ask you, now you've had a full season of watching Harris at running back. Now, I know Pat's been out the last couple of games at tight end with the concussion, but what have you thought about those two picks and what they mean to the Steelers' future?
I think, you know, they're a peek into the future, no question about it. And Wolf and I have talked about it quite a bit. We kind of thought that Pat was underused. And, okay, there are issues surrounding that. You know, the fact that they had Ebron here before he got hurt, and there was a pecking order, and rookies aren't supposed to be main weapons. But, you know, the more we watched him, the more we saw future greatness. So, you know, I think those 1-2 picks are just outstanding. And I think Kendrick Green is going to be a heck of a player. You know, he's paying his dues as a rookie. And in that league, that can be unforgiving. But, you know, I think the Steeler draft was solid and I think has laid a basis for the future.
Well, and you and I both know, Bill, you play on the offensive line as a rookie. It's not easy. You do have to cut your teeth. And sometimes I wonder if people forget about that part. The further away from the ball you are, the easier it is to get ingrained. And he's had to play inside.
Well, let's go back to another time when Leon Searcy was the Steelers' number one pick. He never got a helmet that whole first year. You know, that's how long they thought it took to develop an offensive lineman. Now times have changed with the fact that you know, they have to develop rookies quicker, free agency comes around quicker, and so, you know, they don't have the time to allow people like that to develop, and they rush them. So, you know, I really think that this kid's going to be really good, and hopefully for a long period of time. You know, when he came, he was a raw blocker. He was willing to block, but he's learning technique, and I think, you know, that's going to augur well for his future.
I got to ask you about T.J. Watt, because you have obviously seen, not just with the Steelers, but you've seen it from other teams too, the best of the best. What makes Watt a special player out there? I'm not going to ask you to compare him to anybody, because that's not fair, but what makes Watt special in your mind?
I go back to when he was drafted. Craig Wolfley and I had the pleasure of talking to him at the Fan Fest, which was shortly after the NFL draft. And either Craig or myself, can't remember who, asked him, what's your calling card? And he said, I'm relentless. And that's what you see. He doesn't get blocked very often. He never stays blocked. He keeps coming. He's made a science of rushing the passer. And where the ball is in the quarterback's hand determines which hand he uses. I mean, the guy's, you know, the guy's just, he's greatness. in one little package wearing number 90.
Yeah. There's nothing like watching and getting excited about a young player. We talked about Harris. We talked about Green. We talked about Freiermuth. To me, there's something special about a veteran that just continues to play at a high level. When you watch Cam Hayward, and you've had the privilege of watching him day in and day out, what are you seeing in him right now as the veteran?
I see a lot of the qualities that his dad showed as a player at Pitt and then certainly in the pros.
Yep.
Again, a sense you can't beat me. Again, a sense that I am a football player. We are unique people on this planet, and that is the truth. And, you know, I see that.
And obviously with the Peach Bowl, their Ironhead's son was in the Peach Bowl, actually scored a touchdown in the game. How surreal is it for you when you're seeing guys that are sons playing in these games?
You know what, Steve? I'm not going to wait till I see their grandsons. Then I'm going to start to worry.
I love that. That's the best answer. So I love talking to you. You give the best answers. Yeah, that's great. The grandsons. Let's get to that part of it. By the way, just one note on Pitt. I was so impressed going to the third quarterback and the way they played. And look, I'm not going to sit here. You don't watch much Penn State football because we're playing the same time. I don't watch much Pitt football because they're playing the same time. So really the first time I really got a chance in the ACC championship game to watch the Addison kid at wide receiver. How good is he?
He's as good as he wants to be. And, you know, late in the season they decided to put him as a punt returner, and he's taken that to an exponential level. The guy's just talent. He's got speed. He's got the ability to separate. He has great hands, and he has a knack when the ball's in the air where it's going to come down. And I saw that in Larry Fitzgerald, and this kid's probably as close to that as I've seen.
Yeah, no, I wanted to at least slip that in there because I thought about Boyd. I thought about Fitzgerald. Thought, you know, because I was sitting down in Tampa watching this, I said, man, this is a real chance. He is really good. Jack Ham and I both talked about it the next day when we got together for breakfast. I've got to ask you now about the Browns. They are an interesting group. This is a team that, quote, should have taken the next step. You've already seen them once in person. You've looked at some tape. Why haven't they taken the next step?
Well, you've heard the phrase, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
That doesn't apply to this edition of the Cleveland Browns. They haven't learned how to win. Why? You can point in a lot of directions, and I think Baker Mayfield gets too much of the blame. But there are other people on that squad that have infinite gifts and great football talent, and for whatever reason, it hasn't been maximized. And I really think, and I think Ben Roethlisberger is an example of it, you have to learn how to win. And certainly he did it. Of course, he had a baptism of fire when Tommy Maddox got hurt his rookie season. Yeah. But, you know, it's easier said than done. And that's what I haven't seen with the Browns.
Well, you and I both know losing's actually easy. I mean, just don't play well, you lose. Winning's hard. That's why it's so rewarding. And Ben learned that early on, and he figured it out quickly. It looks like the Browns haven't figured that part out.
Winning, Steve, is hand-in-hand with accountability.
Yes. Yes.
And when you're losing,
you're absolutely right.
Nobody's accountable. Oh, talk to him. No, winning, it's because of you and your efforts and your dedication and your practice habits. That's how you win.
That's absolutely right. Best team you've seen in person so far this season would be?
That's a tough one. The best defense is Georgia, head and shoulders.
Yeah.
The best team, I think we're going to determine that Monday night. I really do. I think it's a toss-up between Alabama and Georgia.
In the NFL, who would that be? Best team you've seen in person this year to this point?
Green Bay.
Why Green Bay? Maybe not Kansas City.
Well,
maybe not
Kansas
City or
Buffalo. Won't beat himself. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, in that game against the Steelers, Randall Cobb came out of nowhere and beat him basically on third down. They have enough of a running game. They have a solid defense, and that's the best team I've seen. I thought maybe after I watched Kansas City that I'd put them up there, but then I saw Kansas City yesterday, and Kansas City's not quite in Green Bay's class. And I also feel that the AFC is not quite as solid as the NFC, at least at the top.
That's a really good point. I do have to ask you about Aaron Rodgers since you brought up Green Bay. You and I both know that the great ones have the ability that are working, but they make it look effortless. What is it of when you watch Rodgers, it looks, quote, easy, and it's not easy. Why?
Because the game is slow for them.
Yeah.
And I think the great ones play their best quarterback after the age of 30. And you see it with Rodgers and Brady and Ben. You saw it with Drew Brees. You know, it's undeniable. The best ones, the game is slow for them. I don't know if I can make the comparison, but I remember talking to an Air Force general, and he said, you've seen Ted Williams. I said, I saw him as a kid in an exhibition game, saw him play live. Well, what do you think? And I said, well, I'll defer to a guy who knows something about hitting. Dick Roach said that, you know, Ted Williams was the greatest hitter, head and shoulders above anybody he's ever seen in baseball. And this Air Force general said to me, well, as great a hitter as he is, he's a better combat pilot, probably the best in the history of the armed services. Why? Because he was able to slow things down, see things before they happen. Gretzky, Lemieux, I mean, you see it time and time again. The great ones see the game slower than everybody else.
But, you know, it's interesting. I'll make this the final question. I know you've got a game tonight. And that's, I teach the broadcasting class here at Penn State, and that's what I tell them about our profession. That's why you and I can relate when we talk about the game slowing down for athletes, because when you first start doing play-by-play, it feels like it's 100 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden it's 5 miles an hour. I mean, and that's something like you and I can relate to, but when you're telling a kid, they don't quite get that until they start doing it.
Yeah, in our business, Steve, the only way to learn it is to do it.
Yep.
And you know, especially our end of it, until you're thrust into that, You have no idea what's going to happen. I remember, he didn't do play-by-play, but when Joe Green retired after his Hall of Fame career, he tried broadcasting. He tried to be a color man. And he said, you know, I thought I was putting my toes into the shallow end of the pool, and I found myself in 8 feet of water. And I think, you know, as a young person learning this business, just do it. And then, you know, that pool gets a little shallower and shallower.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're an artist. So have another great one tonight. Appreciate it, because the game slowed down for you a long time ago, and all of us have been beneficiaries of it. Thank you so much, Bill, for your time today.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure. Call me when the playoffs start.
That sounds great. Looking forward to it. That's great. I love that. Thanks, Billy.
Take care.
Bill.